The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts, Ralph Sutton and Mr. Big J Okerson for the SDR show. This week, a big one. You just saw him on the Super Bowl. It is Shaggy, Mr. Bombastic himself, comes on the SDR show with me and Big J. And if you like Shaggy, which who doesn't, you would have heard the show 5 days ago. If you subscribe to Gas Digital Network using the code SDR, you get 20% off and a 14-day free trial. But Jay, let's just get right into it. It's fucking Mr. Boombastic. It's Shaggy.
They call them Mr. Boombastic. Hoopaloopaloo.
On the SDR show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is a hit show. Show me a tit show. Please, someone fuck the hoe. It's beat, I beat. It's hookers and blow. It's art, it's art. You need to know.
It is the SDR show, sex, drugs, and rock and roll show. I am Ralph Sutton. Back with me once again, Big J Okerson. Always happy that you're on the show, buddy.
Yeah, buddy.
And Josh Ademeyer's in for, I think, your fourth or fifth episode, Josh.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it's an exciting day for us. Why? This is the intro I give you. Two-time Grammy Award-winning singer, songwriter, top three reggae artist on Spotify, fucking Mr. Boombastic himself. It is Shaggy. How are you, buddy?
Love, but the no one time. Ah!
Ralph, you also left out, Ralph, what I always thought was one of the coolest facts from the time you came out. Gulf War veteran.
Yeah, I was going to get into that. That is fucking so cool.
What I learned,
Shaggy, I do a ton of research. Jay and Josh are just funny guys, so they can just show up, right? I have to actually...
Not Jay's making it look like he's the one that did the research.
Yeah. No, I remember that was
fact.
I remember when you first popped out. That was like the big thing. You were a Gulf War veteran, and
yes, I was.
Yeah.
Two tours of duty. I know that. Yeah. Right. So here in doing my research, a couple of things that shocked me was one, I didn't know that part. I learned that when doing the research about you being a war veteran, but also that's where your voice came from, was the cadence of the drill sergeant stuff, correct?
Well, that's where it kind of developed, because I was running and seeing cadences, because, you know, you do a 3 mile run with the whole platoon, you know, you're the guy that's making these funny cadences and it motivates everybody. And I didn't know it was vocal training. I'm singing from the gut. I don't know, but I've been told I hear Jay wears pantyhose.
It's true. It's true.
He does. That's 100% true.
I thought it was Eskimo pussy is mighty cold.
Yeah. You can do that too. It all depends on what you put into it.
And that's not for the radio edit, though.
And that's where the voice came from. That's where at least it started to develop when doing that. That's a pretty wild story. Yeah. And then other things I did not know, I didn't know Oh Carolina was a cover song. That surprised the hell out of me.
It was a hybrid version of it, because it was a hybrid version.
Was it a song that you were a fan of, or did someone bring that to you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know what? It was one of those songs they played in parties that, as Jamaicans kids, we would curse Jamaican bad words to it. Mm-hmm. So Carolina, your ass, bumbo clot. And kids would just, you know, that was part of the whole thing. I really just made that record. In my era, because I think that was like back in the 60s when that record was big. And I did it in my era, just literally just to make everybody in the club curse Jamaican bad words.
Oh, that's funny. That's a start.
And then pop people took it and like, oh my God, this is great. Oh, Carolina. And it was out of there.
That's awesome.
Fucking white people. That's what we do. Ruin everything cool.
White people always fucking it up for everybody. Always. That's what happened.
Well,
Hey. They did not fuck it up for me.
They hooked you up.
They made me $1 million.
You probably made $2 million when you started working with Sting. They were like, oh, hell, Shaggy.
he's with the Lord of the White People.
Yeah. Hey, let me tell you, that guy right there is probably one of my is probably the best experience I've ever had in my career.
I mean, it looked amazing. And watching the interviews with you two, it looked like you guys were bromancing the hell out of everything.
Brother, I found a brother that I didn't know I needed.
Did he teach you how to hold your cums in?
No.
Tantric. He's like, man, you do these 30-minute sex. You can bump that up to three, 4 days worth of orgasm.
Why was Shaggy late to the last three shows? Oh, he was fucking someone for 9 hours.
Oh, when Shaggy came out, though, I bet it was raining so much pussy, he couldn't be tantric. He had to get it out and keep moving.
Listen, I had some fun. I had my fair share of good times. Yeah.
But let me ask you about that record. We're jumping ahead a little bit, but that Sting record that you was the highest charting record for both of you in years, just a fucking great record. The first thing I heard, which is probably not true, but I'm curious, did you meet him by walking out on stage and singing Roxanne with him, or is that just bullshit?
I didn't just walk out on stage, but I met him. I was playing Antwerp. It was me, James Brown, Cyndi Lauper, Joe Cocker, Pointer Sisters, a bunch of us was there doing a thing called Night of the Proms in Antwerp. And we had to break one night because Sting was playing on the Saturday night and he needed the Coliseum. And so we all went to watch a show and I met him backstage and we were talking and he says, yeah, you should come out on something. You know, I love reggae. He's obviously a big reggae fan. Mm-hmm. And I was at that point, you know, just running reggae and he danced all and he was fascinated. He was like, come out on one of the songs. And I just walked out on Roxanne. Because he told me whatever song I feel like, I should come out on. So a rack song was there, and I just walked up on stage, and I ripped the place with me and him. And it was a great moment, and I never saw him again for years after that. Until,
and how did that come about, the actual collaboration?
You know what? His A&R, which is Martin Kirzenbaum, also was my A&R at Interscope. Mm-hmm. And so he knew both of us. And Martin Kirzenbaum is a... you know, well-known guy within his rights, man. This is the guy that signed Lady Gaga and LMFAO and Ellie Goulding and everything that was happening on Interscope with Eminem and Dr. Dre and Tupac, everything that happened outside of America, that's the guy that made it happen. He was the head of international. Mm-hmm. But he was my A&R, it was Sting's A&R. And when he left Interscope, we kept in touch and he started to manage Sting now. He left Interscope and started to manage Sting. And I had a song called Don't Make Me Wait. And I just played it for him. And he was like, wow, this is great. And could you send it to me? So I sent it to him. And I was in LA with him making another record. And all of a sudden, I'm in the studio and the door is open. And Sting walks in singing, Don't Make Me Wait. Come Shaggy. We got a hit. Let's do this. And I was like, holy fuck. This
That's
is Sting.
So cool. That's fucking cool.
And awesome. And he came in and he started cutting record and he looks at me and he says, tell me how you want me to do it. Produce me. And I was like, what the fuck are you asking me right now? You're asking me to produce God?
Yeah, you're giving Sting notes on how to play his bass. That's insane. You know,
but it was cool because it was in my genre and he wanted me to, you know, to just, you know, it show him the way I wanted. And, you know, I gave him the tips how I think it should be done and we did it. And from that, we just had a rapport. We had so much time. We laughed in studio more than we made music. And it just ended up being to where we ended up doing a whole album and winning a Grammy and selling gold and having the second most successful tour that year.
That's great. And also, correct me if I'm wrong again, because I look up this shit and try and find out what's real and what's not. But your Christmas album that came out at the end of last year was going to be with him originally, but because this pandemic lasted so long, you ended up just doing it with other artists and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. The idea came up because we did, I don't remember last year, there was some Disney special that we did for Christmas and we went and sang a couple of Christmas carols in reggae. Mm-hmm. And I did like Drummer Boy and we did like Silent Night in reggae. And it went over so well that we put them up on iTunes and they were selling really well. And so we just thought, we should really just do a Christmas reggae album. That's but then cool. The pandemic happened and he got stuck and I got stuck and I started writing it. But, you know, we couldn't get together to make it happen together. So I just ended up just doing it with a bunch of other acts.
You know, it's funny. It's probably fun for Sting, too, because his solo stuff gets sort of away from the reggae vibe that the Police had. Mm-hmm. And I always found that funny because another comedian, hilarious, Cypher Sounds. But Cypher Sounds was also Little Kim's DJ forever, and he was on Hot 97 forever.
I know Cypher well. I know Cypher.
Oh, okay.
Well.
Yeah, he's a good friend of ours. And he, Cypher Sounds, his favorite band is The Police.
Yeah.
I always found that very, but always, it's in the black. I was always fast. When I started doing comedy, it was in the, basically the all black circuit. I was one of the few white guys in it. But yeah, The Police and Hall & Oates, especially being from Philadelphia, are two just like white bands that really like broke through to the black community.
They transcend,
yeah.
Because they do it right.
Yeah, because they made, you know, let's face it, no matter what you can say about The Police or even Sting, these guys make some really, really great music, man.
Amazing.
Really, what's
interesting is that Virgin Records dropped you in 99 because they didn't think you'd have another hit on your hands. And then come out the next year with the biggest record of your life with Hot Shot. And that's just, it's such a great fuck you story to Virgin. I loved reading that. And its 20th anniversary was last year of that album.
I've been responsible for so many executives getting fired.
Yeah. That's great.
That's really great.
I have seen a few of them made so much mistakes with me that they got booted. It's so funny. It was like, I had somebody told me, was at a meeting at a record company, and it was like, okay, we have an agenda, Shaggy. He was like, are we sitting here talking about the fucking banana boat guy, really? This guy should be on a cruise ship. And right after that, wasn't me, came out, started selling half a million, selling gold a week. That guy was so fired, man.
Well, it's interesting. You are... I can't think of many others. One of the only artists who came and brought like dancehall reggae to pop music.
Yeah.
And, but you're one of the few, if maybe the only, who had like longevity. Most of it became like one hit wonders as far as like pop music goes with like Eni Kamosi and like
Shabba Ranks was there for a hot minute.
Well, it was like your song dropped. And then I remember Sean Paul kind of coming out around the same time, which was great. And he was hot, totally different style. But it's like, you know, we're 20 years later and you're about to have one of the biggest, you know, your biggest songs on one of the biggest platforms in the world. And I think Sean Paul's working at Walgreens. I have no idea.
Now, Sean and I are great. I spoke to Sean last night. Sean is what I like about this guy, he came in at a time. It was great timing for him because when it happened, I had just Hot Shot and Wasn't Me and Angel that broke in the mold. And so now we were moving numbers where the industry had to take notice. And then he was just looked, it was so, it would work so perfect because Craig Kalman from Atlantic, the head of Atlantic, signed Sean. And it was right at the time, Craig Kalman was, there was a bidding war between Craig Kalman and Jay Boberg at MCA at the time. And Craig Kalman's boss, who is a guy by the name of Roger Ames, wouldn't allow Craig Kalman to go over his quota. Is, you know, so we were at like a half a million in negotiations, and you know, MCA came in, it was like 600 grand, and he went to his boss and be like, "Yo, I heard the album. You gotta let me sign this. This Shaggy guy is great. He's got this record with Love Me with Janet Jackson that was number one." And then Roger Ames is like, "It's reggae. What are you talking about? There's no reggae record that's ever sold a million. I'm not okay in that budget. No, fuck it." And
that's crazy.
And he lost it to thing, and he sent me a pool table down here as a gift. Say thanks for making my boss look like an asshole.
That's great.
You know what I mean? And then after that, Sean Paul came in. He went back in a bidding with Sean Paul with Virgin. And at that time, he ended up going back to his boss again and said, "You fucked up on the Shaggy. You gotta sign Sean." And he ended up signing Sean. So it's great timing. And you know, Craig Kalman at that point became the chairman and called all the shots for Sean and really. That's the type of support that we need in dancehall and reggae. So it was such great timing for him.
Because you've said in multiple interviews that I watched with you that, you know, dancehall specifically, you don't get the kind of support that other artists get and never did. And even after your albums and Sean Paul albums sell as well as they do, for whatever reason, it's still not looked at as viable, even though it's proven that it is viable.
Yeah, to this day, it's really just 6% of the global market. You know, and it's a lack of, it needs reforming. There's not enough managers that are smart enough and know the game. There's not enough artists that are dedicated enough to go, you know, you're no shortage of talent. There are amazing talents down there. Tons of them. But, you know,
I think now the equivalent now is like the Spanish music explosion in pop,
and
which is like,
they're doing huge and Afrobeat. But, you know, if you got 90%, work ethic and 10% talent, you could be a major star.
Hey,
you
have to have that hunger.
That's comedy, yeah, too. that's
yeah, boy, is that true.
You got to work hard. Yeah.
And by the way, to go back to just to the song, because also obviously it's a big Super Bowl commercial. It Wasn't Me, it's 20 years. I didn't know this. I'm sure Jay knew this because it's a comedy thing. I didn't realize it was from the Eddie Murphy bit.
Yeah.
That inspired you to write the song. I did not know that. That's pretty good. Did you know that, Jay?
I got to see the commercial.
No, but
Jay, you remember Eddie Murphy did this. I think it was Raw. It was Raw where he said, you know, she caught him on, you get the camera. He's like, it wasn't me. But I saw you in the cup. Right. Wasn't me.
Yeah,
I got you on camera. Wasn't me. You know what I mean? That was the whole idea. Yeah, that's what I got it from.
Just deny.
I saw Eddie Murphy, him and Charlie Murphy was in Bahamas, and they were playing at, Atlantis, I think. I can't remember. And we were in the VIP together, and I told him that story. And he looks at me and says, motherfucker, you owe me royalties.
Shaggy, in the story of your life, when they make the movie of your life, you really got to overplay up, though, the hardship of like being in a foxhole in Iraq. And you're like, when I get out of here, I'm going to be a reggae star. And you're like, shut the fuck up, Shaggy, and cover my six. I went at the talent show doing Mr. Boombastic, and then everyone just throwing beer cans at you. Shut up, Shaggy. Sit the fuck down.
Kind of. They were like, what's this hamana shit? Because they patois. This hamana. And then funny enough, when Boombastic happened, I was touring in Europe, in America. And I had a couple of guys that was in my platoon back then, it was in my battery, come to the show. It's like, yo, Burrell, I couldn't believe this fucking hamana shit. You got chicks out here screaming at you. What the fuck?
And then you got to have, and then while the helicopters are landing over there, you have to you have to cover Creedence Clearwater Songs with Jamaican beats. I ain't the no fortunate son.
Like, who killed these four Iraqis? And you're like, it wasn't me. That was when it was bold. It
wasn't me.
Yeah. Shag, you made a necklace of ears. Wasn't me.
But you're wearing it right now.
Yes.
Let me ask you this, Shag, because you grew up in New York City, right? Born in Jamaica, partially New York.
Yeah.
And we're roughly the same age. I think you're 52. I'm 51. I read that you were a DJ in some New York City clubs. Any club I would remember from back in the day?
I was a DJ on a sound system. It wasn't really a club. They were like little, you know, them halls like Esquire Hall, Biltmore Ballroom, Trinity Hall, all of these.
So they would have like events, and you'd be the DJ event, that
high. Yeah, and I had a sound system, and I DJed at these places. It was always hard playing when you play house parties. And you get those buildings that don't have elevators, and you got to take the box like four flights up. And then you got all your friends to help you get to the party. When it's over, nobody to help you take them crates down. It sucked.
When I was a DJ at Limelight, which is a big club in New York City.
I know here
at the time, and I was running. I was late. I was carrying my crate of records to the door, and I fell. And they fell into the street. The entire line of people were laughing at me, and about 20 records went fucking down the drain. And I don't even know what they were. They were gone forever. And then it just fucking sucked as long time
Isn't it
ago.
Funny that you can now DJ at that quality with your iPhone?
Yeah, with your iPhone. It's amazing. You don't need anything anymore.
I'll tell you what, though. It has taken like and people seem to forget this. Like when the movie Juice came out, that was such a big thing because people forgot about like you can't really do on an iPhone. I mean, I guess you can make the sounds, but like the actual skill of timing all that and switching boards over and stuff, that's like gone.
No, but the DJ battle thing. They'll miss you now.
All the DJ stuff now is EDM music, but really facilitating the sounds with two records is pretty amazing.
You know what? The big thing about technology is the fact that now people are having less skill.
Yeah.
Right. Or skills in a different area, if you want to be honest. You know, you're learning something else. You know, like
you're learning something else, but when it comes to just the skill of take for instance DJing.
Yeah.
If you take that serata out of a lot of people's hands, they don't have a clue what's going on, bro. Yeah.
When I started in radio, dude, we had to cut tape to put a call together.
Yes.
You had to cut the tape and figure out.
You got to edit with the slicer and slicing.
It was horrible. It would take 20 minutes to record a fucking 30-second call. It was horrible.
Yes, sir.
Yes, that's sir. How old I am, everybody. Let me, I don't know this, but in looking up your stuff, I don't know where Shaggy came from. I know your real name, I think, is Orville. So I guess that's why you changed your name to Shaggy. But where did that come from?
Damn, Ralph.
You know, I was a skinny guy with a lot of hair on my head. Oh, and they called me Shaggy because I looked like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo.
Okay, that makes sense. That's a good one.
But then I went to England and found out that Shag meant something else, and that's what I tell the ladies.
Yeah, speaking of which, again, I like how honest you are. You said you got into music originally for the women. That's why you did it. I wish more artists were more honest.
Hey, man, I'm not going to sit there and give you this deep reason. You know, I realize that I spit rhymes and I get chicks. You know, I talk about her hair or shoes or hat, and I got the number. You know what I mean? And I made little ghetto dance hall records. I got into the club for free. I drank for free. And the DJ hollered my name out, and I get chicks, and I was a happy man. It's the happiest time of my life.
That's great. Also helps that you're a really good looking guy, and you got what Martin Lawrence would call that good hair.
Yeah. Well, I got a good surgeon.
And then also what I thought was nice, I feel the same way as you in this, is that the pandemic has been both the best and worst time of your life.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because you get to spend time with your kids and do things you normally would never get to do.
Man, I found out some things about myself I didn't know. I forgot how much I like cooking, and I started to experiment. And my food is tasting so good. I'm like, man, maybe I missed my calling, because this chef shit is amazing. They renamed my kitchen upstairs Cafe Burrell. That's my whole studio. I'm in my studio now upstairs, and they can't wait for me to cook.
That's great. I mean, maybe you should put out like a line of sauces or something.
Yeah, go the Paul Newman route and just start like getting Shaggy everything. Shaggy salad dressing,
hell yeah,
marinades,
jerk chicken sauce, the whole nine yard.
Hey, oh, Shaggy vinaigrette. I went into ground level.
let me tell you something, man. You had Jimmy Buffett that literally took this Caribbean experience and made a $1 billion industry out of it, brother. You know, people argue every day and says, oh, who's the smartest guy in music? It's Jay-Z, it's Michael Jackson, it's rah, 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 it's the Beatles. Jimmy Buffett did that with one song, bro. One song. Never had another hit after that. And he created an empire out of that.
That's true.
Margaritaville. Come on, bro. this guy was pulling down about $90 million a year. What?
That's crazy.
Ralph, I'll tell you what I learned from this quarantine. We are learning things, but we should go around the horn here and see what you learned about yourself. I learned that now that I'm not on the road at all and I'm just at home, I learned how much I missed masturbating the porn with volume. It really makes the whole situation go quicker.
That's what you learned? That's the one lesson?
Yeah, I can't really do that at home. You know, there's somebody
always... You can't turn the volume up.
What about headphones? You don't want to have headphones?
Buddy, like headphones, you need to be now. You got to keep your head on a swivel when you're jerking off.
The little in-ear iPod thing.
No,
why not?
I'm not so worried about how it looks. I'm saying even with the in-ear AirPods, it's just got to... You got to be able to hear if something's going down.
Yeah, you don't have to explain to your woman why you got cum on your earphones, I guess.
You don't want to sink into a porn when there's other people in the house. You know what I mean? You're getting in and you're getting out.
Because if you have the headphones in, somebody could open the door on you and you're like, oh, I didn't hear you coming.
It's exactly what I feel.
By the way, the two meanings were there. And then also, by the way, I couldn't believe this one. I'm not a TikTok guy at all, so I don't know this. But to see that banana challenge from the banana song, you got 5 billion views to do the banana challenge is fucking crazy. 5 billion. It's nuts.
Yeah, we had a lot of success with that with that song, man. It was great.
The Harry Belafonte modernization of that old song.
Yeah, we redid it and put some new lyrics to it, really cheeky lyrics to it. You know, a great guy by the name of Conqueror came in and with the idea, and I just produced the music and just kind of put it all together and featured on it, and we're off to the races, man.
I watched a bunch of hot chicks drop sunglasses on their head for about 10 minutes.
What I really liked about it was the fact that it really brought a lot of people together in the pandemic. A lot of families were doing the drop. They were all dancing together. It was really great.
I got to ask you, you were promoting the Super. I have it DVR'd, and I do mean that. I'm not just saying that. The Wendy Williams. You were just on Wendy Williams, I think.
Yeah.
And I haven't watched the episode yet, but I now watch every episode. I am
obsessed.
Thoroughly fascinated by Wendy Williams. She is did you ever have a gripe with her at any point? I remember when she was back in Philly when I was starting comedy, that was the big thing. Everyone hated her because she called everybody gay. She said everybody was gay. Method Man and Red Man and everybody. So was she, did she treat you right when you were on the show?
Yeah, I've never had any issue with her. And even yesterday on it, she was very complimentary. Nice. And you know, we go back way back. I've known her from Kiss FM days.
She's also single now, so she was probably laying it on you nice. Yeah,
I'm saying, stop. But she know I'm married too. But the thing is, she was, you know, I think one time I was on Kiss FM and she asked me, in the middle of an interview, this is Shaggy, are you circumcised? And I don't know. I'm like, whoa, what?
You're talking about my single.
Yeah. I'm in the middle of a conversation. It's like, are you circumcised?
Are you circumcised?
Like, that's a little personal. I'm like, well, you want me to whip it out?
She did, Shaggy. She did.
How did the Cheetos commercial come about? Did they approach you? Like, how did that happen?
They got in touch with me to use the music. I thought it was a sync. And then they hit me back and said, hey, they wanted me to do to be in the commercial. And I was like, wow, this is a great opportunity. Yeah. And then, you know, I was reading the script and I realized it was a Super Bowl commercial. I was like, wow, this is nuts. And then I learned that it was Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was like, wow, this is a really great look. And then, you know, I was all in at that point and had a great time doing it.
That's really cool.
Not only is it fun for people to for the nostalgia of the song, also it brings you to, it's great. It'll just get eyes of young people who don't know who you are that'll question.
Yeah.
Their parents will say, this is a, you know, it's like, yeah. Oh, this guy's an actual, like, and that's great.
What was good about it is that that song Wasn't Me was also a very big TikTok record also.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, so it you know, they kept using it. They kept it alive in so many sense. When politicians get in trouble, they go to the Shaggy defense.
Yeah, I really thought, by the way, that somebody would make a Trump It Wasn't Me. I really thought that was – you made a full one?
Oh, I didn't. Yeah, it's one. On with James Corden.
Oh, that's great. I think I did see that.
I remember when the song dropped, and at the time I was DJing private parties in the Washington, D.C. area. And I mean, you're doing, you know, the whitest wedding and bar mitzvahs to, like, I was doing schools in Baltimore and Southeast or whatever, yeah, in D.C. And that song transcended every race, color, and creed. If I put that song on, regardless of where it was, people danced to it. So I think what's going to happen with the Super Bowl commercial, it's only going to ignite that. It's like, it's the same thing that happened with Dreams with Fleetwood Mac, the way that it just, I mean, dude, you're going to be bigger house, maybe bigger kitchen from all of this.
Yeah, more kitchen toys to play with for your new launching restaurant.
Honey, let's buy three air fryers.
Yeah, that's my.
We purchased an all-clad forecourt, Ralph, if you were wondering what's going on.
Oh, you did. You bought all-clad. I'm glad you bought all-clad.
We got an all-clad.
Yeah, by the way, Shaggy, I did. I went to cooking school for a year, and I ran a French restaurant for 4 years. So if you want to throw down one day, let me know. We'll throw down.
Yeah.
You know,
Shaggy,
remember you
said if you have 10% talent, 90% go get them?
That's me.
Yeah.
it might be 95.5, but I'll take it either way. And then also, by the way, in looking you up, dude, you do a lot of good, like, charity work. You work, you have the what is it? I'm going to fuck up the name, the Bustamante Hospital for Children, the only English-speaking hospital in the Caribbean, correct?
Yeah, and it's the only hospital in English-speaking Caribbean, yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a hospital that Princess Diana was supposed to go to, and she died before it. And I just, you know, that was a big blow to them because they really needed the attention and needed the support. I just took it up, and it's been like, I don't know, 19 years now or 17 years that I've been working with them. We've raised, you know, almost $3 million. We have basically built a new cardiac ward for them, and just done some amazing stuff. And we, you know, we still support it 110% now to still be on top of our game with it. I also work with a Chain of Hope, and what they do is do heart surgeries, cardiac surgeries for kids in third world countries for free. And wow. So I go and I do fundraiser for them. And there's another charity that I work with big is Food for the Poor. They're the sixth largest charity in the United States. And the number one international charity in the United States. And it's, yeah. So,
well, give yourself a pat on the back. Give yourself a pat on the back. That's not that.
Hey, I do a lot. I used to work for Chain of Hope. No, not Chain of Hope. Where they did for the military, USO.
Oh
yeah, but I'm saying, how great is that for some to be able to do that? That's why I was saying, give yourself a pat on the back off of something that you got into for pussy. I mean, that's pretty awesome.
That's pretty awesome. Amazing.
I think anything like that, anytime, even as comics, like on the lower, far lower level than you're performing at, as far as like arenas and ability to help, but like doing all that charity stuff, so funny that something you do initially, you know, because you needed attention and whatever, and then you could do anything good with it. You're like, that's pretty cool.
Proves my point. That pussy, pussy makes the world go round. That's what
pussy makes the world go round, Ralph. You have been saying that. You got that tattooed on your chest.
No, my lower back.
One of the greatest inventions.
It's my tramp stamp. All right, let's do the first, Shannon.
The first time ever I saw concert, did drugs, had sex.
All right, the name of the show, you know, is Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll. We end the show every week by asking our guests their first experience with all three. We start with concert, the first concert you went to, but hopefully one that we're going to know, and not some obscure local singer that we've never heard of, but the first concert you went to that we would know.
Hey, you're asking me my first concert. You know, I mean, I'm going to tell you who it is. I could sit here and say, well, never let the truth get in the front of a good story, but you must be, as a rock guy, you must know Yellow Man.
Yellow Man? I don't know Yellow Man. Jay?
Yes.
No, I don't. It's an artist?
Well, Yellow Man is a reggae icon. And he's the first, I would say the first dancehall superstar. And Yellow Man is an albino guy that came to stardom. And that was the first concert I went in a place in Halfway Tree in Kingston. First time I saw
him. How old were you at that point?
I was probably around 13.
Okay, wow.
Was it by yourself, like you and friends?
No, I was with some friends, yeah. And I saw him live. Yeah, and I was blown away. I was like, okay, this is what I want.
I was going to say, does it really affect you?
Yeah, yeah. He was amazing. Because he was one of those guys, because it's reggae, he wasn't just a star, he was a superstar. He had superhero-like talents, you know. His presence, his craft, you know, his charisma. He made the world stop and took notice. He was packing venues at that time on a genre that didn't exist. And he was a phenom, you know.
Damn.
Now I feel like
research. Do some of that research.
I'll do some of that research now. Get him. All right, before we go any further, fans of the show who are over 21, we've got something special for you that we know you're going to love.
Just for adults.
Yeah. Nowhere else can you find it, but where? Empire Direct.
Empire. Yes, the Empire.
Why are you going to love this? Well, they can legally sell you Delta 8 THC in 42 states.
Totally on the level.
And Empire Direct is priced to keep you high. Wait to hear the promo code GASDABS for $5 off any product. It.
Wink, wink, dude. You know what I mean?
Delta 8 THC. Distillate syringes for dabbing for $15. Yes. Delta 8 gummies for also $15. And 1 gram of Delta 8 dab diamonds for just $15.
One full gram. If it was illegal, you'd go away for a very long time.
So once more, it's empiredirect.com. High quality lab test verified.
Only
Delta 8 THC.
Very wordy, but because that's how we find the loopholes.
Vampire, have you tried the Delta HTHC?
Oh, shit, yes. I had a rager then, and everyone was torched.
All right, the promo code is GASDABS. It's $5 off anything you order. And right now, if you go to their site, you enter a chance to win a $999 dab rig. Yes. Not $1,000.
No, that's $1 changes everything.
So one last time, go to empiredirect.com or click the link directly in this episode and use the promo code GASDABS.
Absolutely.
For $5 off every order. Let's get back into it. I know the first drug you ever did after pot, unless pot's the worst drug you ever did.
I wasn't really into drugs, to be honest with you. I sold drugs, but I wasn't really into drugs. Weed is probably, and shrooms. Yeah.
Well, we lost probably,
you, I said weed and shrooms is probably the only two drugs I've ever done.
Oh, okay. That's cool. And do you remember your first time doing shrooms? How old you were?
I was grown. That was probably about 7-8 years ago, the first time I did shrooms.
7 or 8 years ago?
Yeah.
Wow. That's
late bloomer.
Did you like it?
Did you like it?
I didn't like the fact that I was hallucinating so much, and I didn't like the fact that I felt like I was trapped in my body.
Yeah, I get it. I smoke weed pretty much every day, but it's funny, like any of those drugs where it's like, I never give up control. Like, I don't like the
lose
control.
I didn't like that.
Not sure what's going on.
I like how I was laughing.
Yeah.
I laughed a lot. I laughed at a lot of shit. I laughed at the fucking door handle. I laughed at, But then when it started set in, I was in my, because this was on tour, you're on tour and every concert, they're bringing you bags of weed because you're a reggae band. So they just bring, people just bring like fucking Crocker's bags of fucking weed to you. And then somebody brings you shrooms. And then next minute I'm like, oh dude, this is trippy, And so, I didn't like it. It wasn't pleasurable to me.
It was a one-time thing.
If I could recommend anything, Shaggy, if I could recommend anything, because what I during the whole pandemic, I've been microdosing mushrooms. Less is more at the beginning. That's,
somebody told me that they thought I ate too much.
Yeah, see if you've never eaten them before and you eat like a fucking like a 2 grams, like you just tripping balls and freaking out. But if you just take a little bit, it's one of the most therapeutic drugs I think the world has.
Yeah.
You know,
that's your Dr. Gonzo over there. Let me come on tour with you. I'll give you the right amounts.
Mushrooms and pussy will decrease your depression.
We'll change the world. Mushrooms and pussy will change the world. They're saying, they diagnose, they prescribe mushrooms, ketamine, and one other drug. I forget what it is. Maybe it's LSD.
I think MDMA.
To help with depression. That's now a common practice with regular doctors are doing that, which is pretty amazing.
To help with depression, I'm with, man. I mean,
the first time you had sex, Shaggy, the first time, not to be to 180 depression.
Well, it's a two-part question. First time you had sex, and then also we've been asking lately, because this ends up being interesting too, the first rock star sex you had, where it was like because you were you, simply like, just the crazy of like, we've had like walk into a room and there's like two
first
girls
groupie
there
sex.
Naked.
Yeah,
groupie
so sex? First sex and third first groupie sex. So start with first sex.
I'm 53 this year. The fuck are you asking me to remember my first time? Goddamn right. How the fuck am I going to remember that shit?
Well, Ralph remembers his 421st time.
Yeah,
which is amazing. He cataloged it all.
Well, I videotape every one of them.
There's so much. It's so much pussy. You can't remember that shit. I was in my younger days. I was a happy hooker.
Nice.
I if it walked, I was not, and it didn't. As I got older, thank God my wife rescued me from that life, because I was, when I look back at some things that I was knocking down, I was like, really? It was bad, man. It's just, you just walking around, oh, pussy, 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 pussy. That's it.
But
you were young. That's all.
Do you remember your first like fame is good one? Do you remember the first like, oh, look at this. This is outlandish, where it all just blends together.
There's a particular, I can't call the name, but there's a particular
name and address
person where after, when you sit there and you look down and you're like, wow, she's on TV.
Nice.
Holy shit.
Yeah. I was going to say, have you like, did you hook up with, you don't have to give any names, but you've hooked up with like celebrities. That's gotta be the first like weird thing.
I've had my fair share of those things back in the days. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Pete Davidson's a buddy of mine. And like, it's funny.
I know Pete is funny.
Yeah. And just like,
Pete
just
almost married a celebrity.
Yeah. That's almost my point. I'm saying like, we went to visit when he was living with, Ariana Grande in New York. We went to his place and I've just known Pete since he was 16. So you're like, Pete, what the hell is this? He's like, ah, me and Ariana Grande having dinner at a house. It's just like, but it's when you're in that world, it stops being so weird. He hooked up with like, man, dude, he's crushing him.
And good
he's
for him, showing right? it. So Shaggy, just the last question and we'll wrap this up because you know we don't have all the time in the world with you. I know that the pandemic, you've been very, not only busy with family and cooking, but I imagine it's also been a creative time as well. Do you have anything on the horizon, new releases, new anything that you could talk about? Or is it all on hold until we know what's happening?
Oh, no, man. I have an artist that we're working with by the name of Spice. And Spice is on Love and Hip Hop. She's the number one female dancehall artist. And I've been working on her album. There's a single coming out with myself and Sean Paul and her.
Wow.
In March. And then I have a song with me and I'm in a place where I'm just doing it with all my people that I admire, all my little heroes. You know, me and Anthony Hamilton just did an amazing record.
Oh, wow. I love him. Oh, fuck. I love him.
Have you ever heard of Princess Fatara?
No. Who's that?
Look into it. You may want to sign her. She's got fantastic reggae hits like Do You Eat Ass?
I only eat two ass, not three in a row.
This isn't. There's no way to play video on here, is there?
For no, sure. No, not
because,
right now.
Because, man. Princess Fatara, look into her.
I'll look up Yellow Man Shaggy. You look up Princess Fatara. We'll see. We'll compare notes.
We're watching this as soon as this is over, Jay. I've got to see this.
We'll find out.
Right, Josh, you're gonna
as we wrap,
this.
Shaggy, anything else you want to plug while we wrap this up?
Yeah, man. Make sure you check out the Super Bowl commercial this weekend. It'll be great. You know what I mean? Make sure you got your Cheetos while you're at it. You know what
nice.
I'm saying?
Somebody got stock options.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got to be involved, bro. You know
hell yeah.
And you know, just look out for some new music, man. I'm just really excited about everything. And I'm happy for you guys to allow me on your platform, man.
Well, thank you so much for doing it. Let's go around the room real quick. Jay, any plugs?
BigJComedy.com. Got some dates coming up. Lancaster, Pennsylvania. You know, the places where, for some reason, they don't believe this disease
Damn,
is
Jay,
real.
Damn, Jay, you're working in a pandemic? Look at you.
I
only
don't,
man making money.
I don't want to, Shaggy. But, yeah, it's a world out there. I got a daughter's in college now. And, you know, I'm getting divorced, so I got to go out there. But I got some dates. I'm San Antonio, Texas. I think Florida, some gigs in Florida.
All the states that don't care that COVID's
all the states that don't care. I've already hit most of them. And it looks like I got Indy, KC, Omaha coming up, so... As long as they're allowed to do the shows, I'll come out and risk my goddamn life to make you laugh.
All right, Josh?
And watch my Netflix and Comedy Central specials.
March 11th through the 13th, I'm at the American Comedy Company in San Diego. But listen to my podcast, The 500, where I'm going through Rolling Stone Magazine's list of the 500 greatest albums with comedians, actors. Speaking of which, Shaggy, for the first time, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I finally listened to Toots and the Maytals' first Woo! Record. I don't know if it's their first record, but the one with Country Road. And
it
might be one of the greatest albums for this moment in this pandemic with the depression and all the weather. And just hearing that music has like giving me like hope. So listen to the podcast and follow me on all social media at Josh Adam.
I will. Toots is we lost Toots last year.
Yeah.
And he was one of my heroes. We did Bam Bam together. He was my grandmother's favorite artist. And I was happy to have known him, happy to have toured with him and worked with him. And, you know, we lost a giant, you know. And,
you know what's interesting, Shaggy?
When it's applicable, Shaggy, you should do Josh's podcast. It's great. It's,
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah, Rolling Stone. He goes to Rolling Stone's 500 greatest albums. And just breaks them down like track by track. So it's a really fun show. I've done it several times.
Our great record, too, is The Harder They Come with Jimmy Cliff. Amazing record.
I love that record. That's such a great record. Lastly, Shannon, I know you're there. You want to do your plugs real quick so we can wrap this up? Or not?
Fuck you.
All right, we tried.
Fucking Shannon.
Try.
Shannon was like, yo.
Wait, I hear.
These motherfuckers. Right,
yeah, Shannon. Wow. Pop
Shannon
on.
Looks very weird today. Look at the way Shannon looks.
The whole thing now. I'll take a camera. You can listen to my podcast.
Shannon, show Shaggy what you look like.
Yeah, come on, Shannon. Show those things.
Hold on. There we go.
You paid for them. Show them.
I think I got it. Here we go.
Hi, Shannon. Go. How are you? Yeah.
Real nice, Shannon. Way to cut off right before
way
the
way to cut off the only part anyone cares about.
Now we look like assholes.
There we go.
There we are.
Listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. And we talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts. And follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982.
And lastly, follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton. And my other podcast on health and wellness, The Good Sugar Podcast, comes out every single Monday. Shaggy, it was a fucking honor.
Hang on, Ralph. Yes. Josh pulled his sleeve up to discreetly show Shaggy he's got a Miles Davis tattoo, so he would think he was cool. What a dildo.
I'm wearing it. No, I put it up.
He's married, Josh.
Dude. I'm sorry.
Josh,
dial it
back. I'm in a light-skinned reggae, dudes. I'm sorry, okay?
Dial it back. All right. Fine. And every week, we add a song to the playlist. I like the new version of It Wasn't Me, so we're going to add that right now to the SDR show.
Thank you.
That playlist. And honestly, dude, thank you so much for coming on. It was a real pleasure to have you on.
Thank you, man. Great to see you.
It was a lot of fun.
Thanks, Evans. Give thanks.
Damn. You let her catch you? You say what you always say. Say it wasn't me.
All right. Money came in and she called me red-handed. Creeping with the girl next door. Picture this, we were both butt naked. Banging on the bedroom floor. How could I forget that I had given her an extra key? All this time she was standing there. She never took her eyes off me.
All you think you do, man, access to your pillar. Trust us on a weakness, I'll lay a clean on your pillar. You better watch your mouth before she turn into a killer. Listen to the situation, not your car to pinner. To be a true player, you have to know how to play. If she say a night, can't be so say a day. Never admit to a word where she say. And if she claim it's you, tell her, baby, no way.
But she caught me on the counter. It wasn't me. Saw me back.
You've been listening to the SDR Show.